On today's Compassion Radio.
Wherever the gospel has gone, it has been persecuted, and the church survives, and in most places thrives. And to me, that is a miracle of God, is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God carrying the Christian church in these places.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the front lines of faith to where you live, this is the daily radio journal of God's hand at work in the world's toughest places. Thanks for joining us today. How hard is it really to be a Christian? In today's world, we often see persecution in terms of political opposition or inconvenience. But around the world, it often means you're alive one minute and dead the next. Or on your way home with the groceries, then suddenly being abducted. So how is the church really being persecuted, and why should it matter to us? Well, today and tomorrow, we'll hear from an expert in the field of persecution research. Yes, there really is such a thing, and in large part because of today's guest. Here's Norm.
Well, our guest today on Compassion Radio is Dr. Nicholas Curtin Johnson. And Dr. Curtin Johnson is the assistant professor, political science at Taylor University, one of the outstanding Christian universities in the United States, based in beautiful Upland, Indiana. It's wonderful to have you with us, Dr. Curtin Johnson, and we'll be calling you Nicholas. But anyway, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thanks very much, Norm. Very good to be with you.
One of the reasons that we're engaged in this conversation today is that I discovered that you, as a professor of political science involved in politics and international relations, in the study of those important subjects at Taylor, are involved in doing a research project that relates to the persecuted church and to the responses that those who are being persecuted for the sake of the gospel around the world, you're interested in gathering their response to persecution, and I'll let you tell our listeners more about what it is, but in a general way, that's what you're about. Why is it that you've chosen to take on this research project? There must be something in you, Nicholas, that really resonates with the issue of religious persecution.
Yes, the project is called Kingdom Responses, Analyzing Believers' Responses to Religious Persecution. If I was to talk personally to begin with, I would go back to my time as a South African growing up under apartheid and really experiencing an unjust system which was tolerated by large portions of the world. And I was 18 when apartheid fell in South Africa. And
wow.
Left a tremendous, had a tremendous impact on my life. And I teach international relations, and it's very clear to me that religious freedom, and particularly Christian freedom, is the most neglected area of international relations. If you look at some of the statistics, I think a conservative estimate would say that there are approximately 300 million Christians facing hostility or persecution, and that's at the more extreme level. If you look at levels of harassment, Christians probably face harassment in between 67 and 75% of countries around the globe. And yet, there's no clear, decisive intellectual study of Christian persecution. Those scholars that I know, for example, Tom Farr at Georgetown, a wonderful man, he focuses on religious freedom. And in a sense, you need to hide the Christian aspect in order to get funding to do research on Christian persecution. And I came to Taylor knowing that Taylor was a university that had a very, very strong legacy and history in mission studies and in social justice and in caring for the persecuted church. And they've been overwhelmingly supportive of this research project. And so our aim is to produce the most comprehensive comparative analysis of persecuted believers. And there's a variety of reasons for doing it. And as you said, there's unfortunately no shortage of countries to choose. We started looking at 9. I think we're now looking at 11 countries as our information has grown.
You know, one of the things that grabbed me, Nicholas, about your study was in the listing of the countries involved, Compassion Radio, our ministry, has been involved in outreaches into every single one of those countries. And, of course, there are more than just the 9 that you mentioned, many more. But one of the reasons that your project really grabbed me was because the people who are listening to you right now on Compassion Radio, many of them have contributed to outreach projects to serve and to minister to and to understand and to provide support, a sense of, you know, standing with Christians in every one of those countries who are suffering, not because they're terrible people or because they are for all kinds of reasons, which, well, maybe they ought to suffer. Maybe they deserve to be punished. But they're simply suffering because of their belief in and public following of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Mention some of the countries. Or why don't you list all of them so our listeners will understand the countries that you're dealing with here?
We're looking at China, Burma, North Korea, Cambodia, India, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, and Nigeria. So really spread across the globe. There are countries where we're looking at, so some of those are totalitarian countries, some are military dictatorships, some are Muslim-dominated countries. So we really are covering really the full gambit of countries of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Norma, I would say, in response to what you said about your listeners, there's two things in particular that excite me about that. The first is part of this research, the key element of this research is going to the persecuted church itself. And we're trying to get information directly from persecuted church leaders. And that is not always an easy task. And it is quite often missionaries. It's your average churchgoer who goes on a mission trip and encounters a story. So even if there's a secondhand story, and it's been retold by someone from a Western church who's been to a persecuted country, we want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
We want to know who, you know, what impressed people. I currently have a very good friend of mine in China, a leader of a very significant Chinese church, who daily writes to me and tells me of his fear of arrest, the attempts by the government to break their church effectively. And I'm very interested in those stories. And then the second, perhaps when I think about why I'm doing this project, I guess I have 4 main reasons. And the key reason linked to what you said was the ability of this research to alert and familiarize Western Christians with the persecuted church. Now, so it gives me great joy to know that your listeners are already engaged, and I would like to expand. I'd like to expand your listenership. I'd like to expand the number of Western Christians that are engaged in this issue.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering, I understand now in a way I didn't before we began this conversation, that you have seen persecution in action in your own home country, namely in South Africa. One of the things that we have found through the years, and I'm going to be interested in your response to this, is that there is a woeful lack of awareness on the part of many, I'm not prepared to say most, but it may be most American Christians, about the reality of religious persecution, at least if it goes beyond just an awareness or an acknowledgement of a simple fact that, yes, there are people, there are Christians around the world who are suffering. But so often the response that we hear is, okay, yes, I understand that that's happening, but I don't want to know anything about it. It's too depressing, et cetera, et cetera. What has been your experience as you've discuss this, and frankly, coming from another country, do you have a sense as to whether or not American Christians really have an adequate awareness of the reality of persecution around the world right now?
I would say, in my experience, and certainly in March this year, I was with a group of leaders of all major anti-persecution organizations, and I would certainly say the assumption I would make from conversations was that most American Christians are woefully unaware of what is occurring, and like you've said, I think the most depressing thing is not the suffering. It's when you speak to Christians about their brothers and sisters that they don't want to be involved.
Could there be any worse thing than being disowned in your hour of need by those who say they love you? It's a tough question that we need to answer. We'll be back with part two after this.
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. As you know, the cost of airtime is staggering and becomes more so each year. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our Compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need.
Compassion Radio has active projects all around the world. This month, we focus on the needs of Christian believers in China. The Christian church in China is under unprecedented attack by the communist government. So, what's our response? Well, when the Chinese church begs for more Bibles to replace the ones lost to their oppressive government, can we rightly tell them no? Of course not. And here's how we're helping Chinese Christians to hold onto hope. Compassion Radio's God's Word for China campaign. We're challenging our partners to give generously to bring the Word of God back to China.
A new well-made Bible placed into the hands of an excited, expectant believer costs only $6. So your gift of $30 can provide 5 Bibles. $60 can provide 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 brand new Bibles for Christian believers, and so on.
This is one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to impact China at a crucial time in history. We also have available a special gift as a thank you for your generous support of Compassion Radio this month. Just ask for it when you call or write to us with your gift. We can be reached at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, we can be reached on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com.
And now back to the broadcast.
They find it too depressing, and I think there are a number of reasons for that.
For example?
There's a very good book written by Andrew Lloyd Macmillan called Faith That Endures, and he talks about faith tests that the persecuted church gives us. And in a sense, the persecuted church shines a light on our own faith, and you know, we are told to take up our cross. And when we look at the persecuted church, that cross is very clear. And I think in the West, we can be very comfortable in our Christianity. The Bible tells us very clearly that we will be persecuted. We will face hostility. We will be hated. The majority of Western Christians, I think, live a very comfortable life. And it does shine a light on our faith. What sort of impact are we having on the culture around us? And whether it's an aspect of embarrassment or a seriousness of faith that we don't want to engage with, certainly that was my position personally. But I must say, when I started engaging in the research and I started meeting persecuted Christians, I went from finding this topic too depressing to finding it incredibly hope-giving. It gave me hope to see the level of faith. And in particular, I think the worst case scenario currently is North Korea.
Yeah.
And you have men, women, or children who know that if they are discovered as a Christian, that 3 generations are likely to be put into labor camps and never come out. So you're risking your parents' life, you're risking your children's life, you're risking your spouse's life, perhaps your siblings' lives, and yet faith takes precedence. And I think there's a lesson, there's a strength of faith that is humbling to me as a Western Christian and inspires me.
Someone with whom we have worked for a number of years, a leader of an organization, I won't mention it, but on one of the first trips that my wife and I ever took into a situation where the persecution of Christians was on a massive level, and it was virulent. It was a very difficult thing. Mm-hmm. I can remember the leader of this organization with whom we were traveling saying, when I meet with people who have suffered for their faith like this, my first response now is to fall on my knees in front of them. And with a sense of humility and a desire to honor them for their, and you use a phrase in the document that you sent to me, you talk about historical perseverance, for their perseverance in faith and being true to the gospel in the midst of the most difficult possible circumstances where they are targeted, where there are no benefits in terms of material advancement or anything of that sort, to being openly Christian. Mm-hmm. And I have felt the same way. You might be interested to know, by the way, and maybe our listeners are not aware of this, that our engineer, who's sitting here and making our recording possible today, that he and I and my wife, Cher, met on a trip to China where the total purpose of the trip was to explore firsthand the reality of the persecution of Christians in China. Yeah. And that's how we became friends. And now here we are working together. But it impacted our lives profoundly. And Compassion Radio came into existence as a result of that trip to China. So I know what you're talking about. We're talking to Dr. Nicholas Curtin Johnson, a professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at Taylor University, a marvelous Christian university in Upland, Indiana. And we're talking about a study, a research project that has been launched there at Taylor University under the leadership of Nicholas. Tell our listeners, Nicholas, something about the kind of support that you're getting from the university and the level of commitment that, that the university is making to this project.
The university has been wonderful. I was a new faculty member within 8 weeks of arriving at the university. I had a meeting with the president and talked about religious freedom, and he gave me blanket permission to take this research and take this work to whatever level I could build it to, and he would give me the institutional support that I needed. And so I started with that blanket approval from the topmost person at the university. Subsequent to that decision, I taught a course on Christian persecution in the spring of 2011. So that's the first time that has been taught at Taylor.
Is that right?
And the course was full after 2 days of being open to students, and I think that's the fastest in the history of political science, which is very encouraging. The university helped me raise funds to take that group of students to the UK to meet with British and European young Christian leaders to talk about religious freedom. And in terms of this immediate project, I have funding from the university to employ two key research assistants, and we are building that team probably to about 10 research students.
Marvelous.
Over the next few weeks, and that growth is really in response to this project. We've had such positive information and support from anti-persecution organizations, from international lawyers, from missionaries in the field, and the university has responded and said, well, this is clearly a work of God, and we want to support it.
That's marvelous and encouraging to hear. Mm. You know, I'd like to ask you about this wonderful term that you use, the historical perseverance, and that's the term I love so much.
Yes.
The historical perseverance of the church in the face of trial for the advance of the gospel. Now, you mentioned that it continues today, but this has been a reality of Christian living throughout history. That's why you use the term historical perseverance. Speak to that issue, because I think, once again, there is a woeful lack of awareness that, well, even in terms of the New Testament, that persecution is the context for most of the New Testament documents that we read, and yet it is something that is not normally recognized in our sort of, let's read this passage and see what it means for me approach to Bible study that is so prevalent in the United States. Speak to this whole business of the perseverance of the church throughout history and its advancement in the midst of, and maybe even to some degree because of, the reality of persecution.
Yes. Well, like you said, the New Testament, the context of the New Testament is persecution, and we see that the apostles being sent from Jerusalem. We see the spread of the gospel in response to persecution, believers being driven out and taking the gospel further and further into Europe and into the subcontinent. And what what fascinates me most about that experience was, if we think through history and we think to where we are today, is that Christians were not persecuted because they were violent. They were not persecuted because they were any threat to the state. They were persecuted as atheists, which is quite a strange concept. Mm-hmm. They refused to recognize Caesar. They were never a military threat. They were never a political threat. But there was this underlying, underlying threat to the state in terms of the failure to recognize recognize Caesar. And you even see some early Roman writers hating Christians because of the way that they loved.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. The fact that their wives were loyal. Mm. The men were loyal. The marriages lasted a lifetime. These are things that were so counter to the culture of the time. They stood apart so significantly that they were persecuted, even though the way that they stood apart, we would say now, those are all positive things. You know, they rescued children. They cared for the elderly and the sick. Unfortunately, if you look through history, a great deal of Christian persecution has been at the hands of other Christians, or those who would call themselves Christians. And it's something that I struggle with my students, and I think we need to take a very nuanced look at the church and, you know, what did it represent? Can we really describe it as Christian, or was it a political force rather than the church? Wherever the gospel has gone, it has been persecuted. And, you know, Paul talks about perseverance and our perseverance, and eventually, you know, we at least a character, at least a hope. And I think one of the dangers we have is we can romanticize persecution. And I think sometimes in the West we do that. It is clear that the church survives and in most places thrives under persecution. And to me, that is a miracle of God. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God carrying the Christian church in these places. But there are places like North Korea, like China under Mao, where the church was hammered and had persevered under the worst conditions. And indeed, the early church, when Christians are being fed to lions and burned alive at the stake for public amusement, and, you know, to persevere under those conditions and to keep responding in love is an incredible legacy.
Well, Nicholas, it's been wonderful to have you on the air with us today on this Compassion Radio program. We've really just scratched the surface of this subject, and I'd like to ask you if you'd be willing to come back for a second day and join us as we probe into this whole issue of the response on the part of believers around the world to religious persecution on the part of those who live in restrictive countries. Would you come back and be with us for a second day?
Absolutely, Norm. Absolutely. Thank you.
Lord of all, of the nations quick to anger bearing arms. Lord of all, of his child held by his mother safe from harm. Lord of all, of all seen and unseen things, of a universe that sings and calls you Lord of all. Lord of all, of the power not to sin, seen and unseen things.
you believe in this ministry and are encouraged by what you hear, call us today and let us know.
For more than a decade now, Compassion Radio partners like you have been sending Chinese language Bibles into the world's most populous nation, fueling the greatest church growth movement in the history of Christianity. To date, our contribution is approaching 500,000 Bibles. When you consider that for every Bible donated, an estimated 5 people are won to faith in Christ, the impact of our Bibles for China project is enormous. So I'm asking you to give as generously as you can, even sacrificially, to provide thousands of these specially designed Bibles in China. Just imagine what your gift will accomplish for Christ's kingdom. My friend, this is the world's best investment. So mail or call in or use our website to make your gift today. You'll be glad that you did.
Please call us today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can reach us anytime at CompassionRadio.com or our Facebook page. We'll see you tomorrow.